Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mutt and Lou, 93.7 WEEI. We'll get back to your phone calls in just a couple of minutes. The story yesterday, headline in the Boston Globe for Jared Remy, leniency was the rule until one lethal night, and that the death of Jennifer Martel, quoted in the story and highlighted in the story, was a neighbor and close friend of Jennifer and the Martel family, Christina Hill. And Christina Hill joins us here on the AT&T hotline. Christina, Mike and Lou in Boston, how are you?
Hi, I'm okay, thanks. How are you?
We appreciate you calling us as we're talking about this and giving us a few minutes of your time. Now, it says in the story that you and your boyfriend or husband moved away. When did you guys move away and where do you live now?
I won't say on air where we live now, just because we moved away for that reason. But
sure.
We moved away about 6 weeks after everything happened.
Christina, how long do you know Jennifer Martel?
It was actually a short time for how well we knew each other. We knew each other for 16 months.
It seems like you were kind of with her throughout this process of with Jared at this late stages of this whole thing. What can you tell us about Jennifer as a person?
She was kind of perfect. She was just this vivacious, amazing, like bouncy, enthusiastic girl. She was always happy, even though she was often dealing with shit, excuse my language. And she was probably the most incredible mom I've ever seen. She was so devoted, constantly doing things with Ariana. Every day off involved her taking Ariana places, culturing her, showing her Boston. She'd go to the Children's Museum or the zoo, or she really liked Crane Beach and sledding and fireworks. And she walked on her tiptoes everywhere. She was a short girl. I don't think she was like 5'3". She walked on her tiptoes everywhere and always wore her hair in a ponytail, and it would bounce whenever she walked. So she was just a happy-go-lucky mom and an amazing friend.
Christina, I don't know how long you knew her as far as this relationship with Jared, but was it always difficult, like it seemed like at the end, or did you ever see them have good times, or how long have you known the two of them together? And how'd it go?
So we met them the day we moved in. Jen and Ariana were sitting on the steps as I was unloading my car, and Ariana was whispering to Jen, "Oh, I think they have a dog," because I was carrying a dog bed with me. And they were all big fans of dogs. And that day I met Jared as well. So they'd been in our lives. They went to our wedding in Vermont. I babysat for Ariana at least four times a week while Jared went tanning into the gym. And from day one, we knew Jared was a bad guy. The first week that we moved in, he bragged to the neighborhood that he was getting a swastika tattoo on his arm. But we just passed it off as acted like this spoiled rotten kid, and we just thought that he was like trying to act like a thug because he thought it was cool. And it wasn't until probably like March of 2013 that we realized that he was just like a bad, violent guy, and it wasn't just a front.
You say bad, violent guy, Christina. Would you characterize the relationship as toxic? I mean, you live next door. You talk about the shouting matches that you heard. You mentioned that first day. Was there a toxicity to it, as far as you could tell, between the two?
Yeah, I mean, Jen tried really, really hard, and she was an easy person to like. So she did what Jared wanted, and she kept the peace for Ariana's sake. And so at first it just seemed like tiffs of an intense relationship. And you know, we all questioned why Jen was with this guy that no one liked when everyone loved her. But it wasn't until the end that we realized that it was very toxic, and it wasn't, unfortunately, till the very end that I realized how scared Jen was and how trapped she felt, because she was a very strong and stubborn woman. So she, you know, her biggest phrase to me was, "Christina, I got this, I can take care of myself."
All right, we're talking to Christina Hill, friend and neighbor of Jennifer Martell. And Christina, it says here in the Globe article that you were with Jennifer the night before and encouraged her to go to the courtroom the next morning to extend that restraining order. Can you take us through like what that was like for you, that conversation with her?
Yeah, so that Tuesday night, Jen came over like she usually did. We watched Pretty Little Liars in the summer, Grey's Anatomy in the winter. So she'd come over, and this time she brought Ariana with her, which she did sometimes. And like 5 minutes in, she had sat on the couch and Ariana was playing on the floor, and she was saying that Jared was driving her crazy, and Jared started calling her phone incessantly over and over and over, and I kept saying, you know, just don't answer it, just don't like worry about it. And she finally answered. He started screaming profanities at her and saying, like, "You don't go to other people's houses to watch TV. Like, if you want to watch TV, you watch it here," and things like that. And so I told Jen to just hang up, but he kept calling, and so she didn't want Ariana to hear what was going on. So she went over there and she left Ariana with me, and all of a sudden I heard banging on the wall. We shared a wall. We shared the living room wall, and I heard a bunch of banging. So I told Ariana to lock the door behind her, and I went over there to see what was going on. And Jen was just pushing past Jared, and he was screaming at her. And I told her to run back to our place, and we did. And we locked the door behind us, and he was banging on the door. And we thought that we were okay, but we forgot that they had a spare key to our place, because they used to let the dogs out for us. And so he went back to his place, I guess, got the spare key to my place, and burst in like screaming and yelling, and Jen called the cops, and they came over and arrested Jared, and she spent the night with me at my house with Ariana, the four of us, me and my son. And in the morning, when I woke up, I said, I got dressed and I said, "Okay, like, I'm ready, let's go to court now, because we don't know what time it's going to be." And she said, "Oh no, like, we're not going to go to court." And I said, "Why? You need to go to court. I had a really bad dream last night that Jared killed all of us." And she said that that she had spoken with Phoebe Remy that morning, and that she had asked for, Jen told this to me, said that she had said not to extend the restraining order, and in exchange, Phoebe would take the apartment key away from Jared. And Jen then showed me a text message on her phone that said that Phoebe had the apartment key from Jared.
Did you see other text messages, Christina, between the Remy family and Jennifer about the incidents?
Yep. Jenna Remy, who spent the night, who Jen spent the night with on Wednesday night on the 14th, so that she wasn't around Jared, had texted Jen at some point, which she showed me on Wednesday morning. I'm not sure when the text came through, saying, "I'm afraid my brother's going to kill you."
That was from Jenna, his brother, Jenna, his Remy. Sister, rather.
Yes.
So did you, no matter how hard you tried to convince Jennifer to show up, she wasn't going to do it?
No, and then we spent the day at Drumlin Farms, which is in Lincoln. So my son and me and Ariana and Jen went there to kind of get our minds off of everything that had happened. And while we were there, Phoebe incessantly called Jen on the phone. So the whole time we were at Drumlin, she was on the phone with Phoebe. So that morning in the car, we had our Dunkin' Donuts and we were drinking our coffee and eating our donuts and talking about about how she wanted to be with a guy that was going to make her a better person, and talking about her ex-boyfriend from Taunton and how she missed him, and she probably made a mistake breaking up with him, and talking about the future and what we were going to do. And then by the end of our time at Drumlin Farm, after the calls that she had with Phoebe, she her face had dropped. She looked exhausted. She turned to me and said, "I feel bad for calling the cops on Jared after all. Like there's not a bruise or a cut on my head. Like, I probably shouldn't have called them." And asked me to return her back home so she could wash Jared's laundry.
Now, the fact that he no longer had the key to the house, was that something that she was like, "Oh, okay, no problem, then he doesn't have the key, he can't get in"? Or was there still a feeling of fear, even with that news?
I think there was a feeling of fear, and I didn't read enough into it, because, like I said, Jen like conducted herself in a way that you would think she could have probably handled the whole world. So, she made it feel like, you know, she had things under control and she could take care of things. And so I should have pushed more, and I didn't for that reason. I think she thought that because that Jared didn't have the key, she was at least safe, or had the freedom to make the decision she needed to make. And, I can only tell you what I think, but I think she was influenced by Phoebe because we went talking in one direction about her leaving Jared and what she was going to do in the morning, and then hours later it was like a 180. And so that's at least my observation.
So was there a reason that the influence was so highly? Did she just feel bad for Jared for all the years? I mean, in the story you also talked about how she couldn't provide for Ariana like she'd like to, and the Remy's helped her out financially. Was there any fear of anything? Is that why she reversed course so quickly?
I mean, I can't tell you exactly why. I can tell you that that Jen looked up to the Remy's. I think she considered Phoebe a mother figure. I know that she definitely considered Jenna a sister and was close with them. I think she really considered them, you know, her family, and she looked forward to the times that she spent with them, and you know, if it's your family, like, telling you to do something or asking you to do something, well, you know, you tend to end up doing it, don't you?
Was that, and you talk about that the night before, where you had Jennifer there in your apartment, Christina, was that the only time she sought refuge next door with you?
That's the only time she sought refuge from, like, a violent perspective. We ate dinner together 4 to 5 times a week. She was over at my house every day. She used to stop and say hi to my son, who was, she was going to be his godmother. She'd come by and stop and say hi on when she stopped at home from work. We'd both barbecue outside. I'd say that we saw each other every day, and she was over at my house at least 4 or 5 times a week. So that was the first time that she came, like, from a safety perspective, though.
You know, I know he was obviously showed some violent history. Did he ever show signs that, you know, how frightened were you? You said you had a dream the night before. The outcome of it, did you see that in Jared Remy?
Not until that Tuesday night. I saw him be scary. But I just thought he acted like a spoiled 13-year-old. So, like, whenever he didn't get something his way, like, he would go on these tirades. And so I always associated it with just the fact that he was so used to getting his way. And this is like an adult version of a tantrum, if you know what I mean. So the time that's referenced in the Globe, we were sitting, all of us, my husband and me and Jen and our son and Ariana, and we were eating dinner, and Jen had brought over a new hot dog slicer that she had bought for Ariana, which apparently slices hot dogs for you. And somehow we started talking about gay marriage, and Jen and I were just talking about how we don't think it's fair that anyone should be deprived of equal rights, and we were just having a conversation between the two of us, and Jared got very heated about it, and he's like talking about how being gay is disgusting and filthy and using terrible homophobic words. And my husband turned to him and said, well, like, is it really a big deal? Like, has a gay guy ever hit on you? And he just threw into a rage and was like, me. And he said him and this friend of his that he used to work out with at work at World are going to go get some guns and fuck up some queers. So.
You tell that story that it's written about here. Were you scared that night for her when he starts yelling about that stuff,
yeah.
Christina?
Yeah, I was, and so we tried to defuse the situation because and we were leaving to go to a dog park to walk our dogs, and so we told Jen and I, and then we're like, come on, let's go, let's get in the car, and Jared was across the parking lot screaming at Jen, saying like, get over here, using profanities, calling her a bitch, and I said, no, Jen, get in the car with us now, and she didn't. She left Ariana with us, and she went in the car with Jared, and I was very scared, and we followed them all the way to the park, and I had like my hand on 911, and then they got out at the park, and they seemed totally fine, so I don't know if Jen had like talked him down or what, but they seemed totally fine, and then I kind of, after that, just, you know, I guess put it in the back of my mind.
Christina, how much did Jennifer know of Jared's kind of past, you know, as far as violence with ex-girlfriends?
It was all very twisted. So Jared's version of what happened with Tiffany is that Tiffany was a crazy person. She was a schizophrenic, and this is what was told to us from both of them. So Tiffany was crazy, and she used to attack Jared on a regular basis, and then the incident with Ryan was explained to us as I don't know if this is what Jared had told Jen as well, but they both told me that Ryan had attacked Jared, and in self-defense he broke her nose, and that's why he was in jail for those 81 days. That is what was described to us.
Well, Christina, we appreciate you calling our show as we were talking about this earlier and taking a few minutes. I can't imagine what it's been like for you, and thank you for giving us more information about this story, and we thank you for taking a few minutes.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
All right. Christina Hill joining us here on the program. Christina quoted pretty extensively yesterday in the Boston Globe story, which details a long and troubled past and history for Jared Remy and some of the court systems that let him down by continuously letting him out, and not 81 days of jail time was it for 74 different run-ins with police over the course of, 14 years. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. You can text us on the AT&T text line at 37937 here until Michael Holly at 2 on Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.